afternoon. It is March 13th, Tuesday, and it is now 1:30. I absolutely apologize to anybody that's had to, you know, adjust in their schedule, and we appreciate that more than you'll know, because when floor session runs a little long, it's just hard to adjust. Anyway, so thank you. So I am going to do public hearing on House Bill 2606, and if the committee staff will give us an explanation. And
thank you, Chair. Just briefly, this bill does modify certain education requirements from years to credit, and it does allow students to graduate in less than 4 years or to the next grade level if no credits are met. Modifies requirements for children who must attend public schools. Applies to the 2007-08 school year. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kobian. And with that, Courtney Miller, would you want to come forward and testify?
Okay. Good afternoon.
Would you like to have your dad with you?
I don't know about that. That's all right. Just a little bit about me. I'm Courtney Miller. I graduated from Westland High School. Currently, I'm a senior at Arizona State University at their Honors College. I did graduate in 3 years from Westland High School with honors. And I get the question a lot of, why did I graduate early? Why would you do such a thing? And, the best answer I have is it was the right decision for me. It's a personalized decision for everyone, and there's only a few people who do decide to do something like that. And as much as I loved basketball and golf, tennis, I did lots of varsity sports, got along with a lot of different people, very social, outgoing, I still wanted to go ahead and advance and get into classes that were more tailored to me and my liking. High school was challenging, but maybe not enough for me. I don't know. I was just anxious. And in no way did I feel that it has held me back from opportunities in college. Graduating through their honors college, received scholarships. I have held quite a few positions, including vice president membership in my sorority. So, and also applying to jobs. If anything, it's given me more, it's given me advantages of time management, because taking 4 years of a curriculum and shoving it into three, for some students, you know, it's not an option, but for me, I was able to go ahead and do that. I know there's a big concern about maturity. Is a 17-year-old, at least in my case, because I did it in 3 years, are they ready for college or wherever else they're going? And I think with the students that decide to graduate early, it's okay. I think they're already probably more mature, to tell you the truth. I think to have that self-management of being able to graduate early and organize your schedule like that, that shows a great sign of maturity on my personal point of view. So I think maturity, I definitely know some people aren't ready to do that, and they're probably not the ones that are going to decide to graduate early and take advantage of the opportunities that this bill brings. I would have appreciated a less stressful process to graduating early. I had to start with my counselor, which luckily I knew him very well, and he knew me, so he knew I was a pretty responsible student. Then I had to go through our principal, and luckily she moved from our middle school up to high school with me, so she knew me as well, which helped having those two authorities kind of on my side to go to the school board district and get the approval. I wish it would have been easier for me just to say, I'm ready for this, I believe that I can graduate early because it's my motive, and get the approval right then and there. So I think I speak on behalf of a lot of high school students that just giving you that choice, that if you feel it's right for you, and again, it's going to be so few students who are going to choose to do this, I think it's the right thing to do. Just House Bill 2606 really does support that. I've only met a few people in college, and I go to a school that has over 60,000 students, and I've met about 4 students who have chosen to take that path, and they are doing great. I can tell you that. So I just would appreciate your support in House Bill 2606.
Thank you so much, Courtney. Courtney, if you just want to hang in there a minute. Oh. I know you have to leave, but we have several other people that are here to testify on this bill, but Courtney has adjusted her schedule and needs to leave. So if any committee members have a quick question for Courtney.
No, that's fine.
Representative Burke Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Mill, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your testimony. I'm very curious about the process. How did you fit it in? Did you take night school classes? Did you take summer school classes? How did you get it done in 3 years?
What I did, I had 4 independent study classes that I had to arrange to satisfy my curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
It was through Brigham Young just because I have a great independent study. It was through the Internet, and also I had to hire tutors because I have problems in math. I'm not the strongest, so I had to get help in some of those courses. But then the other kind of challenging part was I had to do English at my district. I think it was just maybe within the Westland Wilsonville School District, but you had to take the English in school. You couldn't do that through the Internet or anything like that. So I had to do, my senior year was English for 11th grade and then 12th grade. They're back to back. So probably lots of people wouldn't enjoy that. I like English, so it's great. But
very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
To you.
Any other questions for Ms. Miller? Okay, well, thank you for your personal testimony and bringing this forward, helping bring it forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to have Margaret DeLacy. Oh, Representative Kremel, do you want to speak to the bill while you're here?
Okay. Since you're here.
Okay. You didn't sign up.
Sorry, Madam Chair, I didn't sign up.
We didn't recognize.
I should have.
Yeah.
But thank you, and I will have to run off also because I have a bill up in another committee as well, but I did want to just give a couple of comments regarding the bill. You already know what it does, requiring school districts to award a high school diploma when the student has completed the required number of credits for graduation. Once a student has required to satisfy the requirements for a grade level, they would be able to move up as well. And then it also changes, and this was an LC change. It just changes the nomenclature from years to credits because high school is now being measured in credits, as you all know, as opposed to years, as it should be. So I just want to, and I want to also mention that I have, based on some comments that I've had from some school administrators and that sort of thing, I have requested some amendments that would allow for, rather than the district having to do, having to immediately, and I haven't checked with my other sponsors on this, but anyway, instead of having to immediately grant a person to graduate, it would be at the student's request. So the student would make a request to the district. But once that student or their parent has made the request, then the district would be obligated to honor it. I just want to say, and thank you for, Madam Chair, for listening to Courtney first. And I think that she really encapsulated everything that we're trying to attain with this bill. I think I've come across many kids in my career that have really been, you know, we've talked about it. We've had the idea for a long time of holding kids back a grade, but when we have a kid that is able to move forward and should be able to move forward, we don't make an accommodation for them, and I think that this is one way that we can do that. You know, we've all understood the concept of mastery, and actually, you know, one of the things that Sim and Cam tried to do, in my opinion, was plug the mastery model into the Carnegie system, and that's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't really fit, and so you have to make some other adjustments. We also talk a lot about the achievement gap, and the need to beef programs up. But one of the things that I think that we need to do is allow, and while I'm in favor of getting rid of Sim and Cam, I have to admit that one of the things that I think we do need to do is have an accommodation for students to be able to move forward at their own pace. I know in rule and state, I don't know about the law, I guess it does in state law, it says that it should take 12 years beginning with grade one. And I guess, you know, what that tells me is that we're going to just base it solely on seat time. and whether a student really understands everything by the time they've hit grade 12, we're going to send them out the door anyway. And that, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. When there's been comments from students or questions of students as to why they dropped out, for many of the drops, about 70% of the students have said that when they dropped out, said that it was because they didn't feel challenged. And if we can allow a student to move forward at a pace that might be a little faster, might be a little quicker than what we're ready for, but they're ready for, then I think having those options available to them should be available. I also want to mention that we in 2005 increased the number of credits that a student will need to have, and I don't disagree with those changes. We also have the expanded options program now, and offering high schoolers the opportunity to take college level classes. We have increased numbers of students taking the advanced placement exams, and I think there's clearly a segment of our student population that can very much benefit from this kind of an option of being able to graduate early. And with that, Madam Chair, I will stop and be glad to answer any questions that you or the committee might have, and then I'll get out of your hair.
Okay. Representative Crummel, can I ask, because we don't know quite for sure, did you state your name for the record?
Oh, I bet I didn't. Thank you. For the record, Jerry Crummel, State Representative, House District 26, Wilsonville, Sherwood, and over to Gaston.
And could we get a copy of your testimony, too, before you...
Before I leave?
Yeah. Well, not before you leave, but...
But, yes, I can get you a copy of my testimony. I'd be glad to.
Appreciate it, because it does help us with our backup, because we have two bills that are similar, and so it just helps us stay more organized.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have three people. I'm going to start with Representative Cannon.
That's funny. I think I was the last to have my hand up in the air, but thank you, Madam Chair. That's different than the way I operate in the classroom.
Chair's prerogative.
Chair's prerogative, yes. Very good. I did want to clarify, Representative Crummel, that a little bit about your amendment. I know we don't have them in front of us, but this bill, as printed, states in line 20 that a school district shall award a diploma to the student if they've satisfied the requirements. Do you propose amending that shall to a may? Is that, am I correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Cannon, no.
Okay.
That shall stay there. But what we would add at the end of that sentence is that the at the request of the student parent or guardian. That way, it takes the action of the student to make it happen. But if the student requests it and they're able to move forward, then the school district would be obligated. And that's why I would like to leave the shall in there. I don't want to make that permissive. I want to make that if the student requests it, then the school district has to act on it.
All right, thank you. My other sort of technical question, and I don't know if it's best for Representative Crummel or perhaps from ODE or someone else, but has to do with credits and how they're defined. I understand this current statute, requires 24 credit hours. This would be amended to credits. They mean the same thing. I'm wondering how courses that last less than a full year, so semester-long courses, are treated. Are they considered half credits? Does statute go any farther in terms of specifying what is required outside of this English and mathematics standards? I know these are pretty basic questions related to how we our requirements, but I think it's important that we're really clear what would trigger this automatic graduation by the student, and we have all of that information in front of us before proceeding. So if there's any additional explanation that either you or the department or the chair could provide, or the administrator, I'd really appreciate that.
Madam Chair, I'd be glad
first
to
opportunity.
Take a stab at it, and then folks like Representative Roblin and Representative Dallum can clean up after me, or the department. And I can tell you that at our school, a semester class is a half a credit. So a year-long class is a full credit. And there are, I believe both in statute and in rule, there are rules for how much time has to, in terms of not just clock hours, but also the standards are there from a standpoint of what is supposed to have been covered. So, for example, in freshman, what what many would refer to as freshman or sophomore, history, American history. You start at pre-colonial times and move very rapidly up through the Civil War and actually get to the present time, and that's in the span of one school year. Does that answer your question?
I would like to see it spelled out in more detail what, as I read this statute, let me put it this way, as I read this statute, the combination of 24 credits that include 3 credits of math and 4 credits of English would automatically trigger graduation. If that's not the case, if there are additional requirements the student must satisfy in order to appeal for graduation, even if it's only in 3 years, I guess I would like to know
Okay, and yeah, I'm going to let Representative Roblin, he's chomping at the bit.
Well, it's more of a clarifying question to the same one. Currently in our statute, there are minimum graduation requirements that the state puts into record. And individual districts can increase those. So they have graduation requirements for their school district. So the question I would have is this bill, the way it's written, appears to me that says if they meet the minimum graduation requirements of the state, you got to give them a diploma, even though that's not what a diploma in my district would mean. And so I have a concern about that one, in that we have a local control issue about setting a standard for a diploma, and now we're saying, no, the state is going to set that, and if you meet the standards, you get your diploma, concerns me. So the first question is that the intention of this legislation?
Madam Chair and Representative Roblin, the intention of the bill is to avoid a situation where a student has done all that they need to do to graduate. They've gotten a number of credits, they've met all of the state standards, and now they are wanting to move on, but they're being held back and said, no, you have to spend your extra year here because we said you do, because we don't want you to graduate yet. That's what we're trying to avoid. If a student wants to move forward, allow them to move forward.
So what you're saying is there will be a diploma that is a state diploma, and the option that the individual schools have of extending that would no longer be available, if I understand that right, because once they've met those requirements, then they should be getting the diploma. And the other question is, do we know of any school districts that don't? I mean, I know a lot of school districts that have policies that say, when you get there, you get your diploma. I mean, I guess this is the other question to that one. Having gotten the diploma or having finished the requirements are sometimes two different things. We have students who we give the diplomas out one annually at the end of the year.
Right.
And so people who complete during that year, we wait till the end of the year to give them the diploma. However, we send a letter to this college saying they have met all the requirements and will graduate, you know, we'll get their graduation date is set for this date, and that's when they're going to graduate. And so they go off to school even a term before, because everybody understands they've met all the requirements, but they really haven't gotten their diploma yet. That happens at the end of the year. Would this bill require that they have a separate time whenever it's completed, they give them the diploma?
That's a very Madam Chair, Representative Roblin, that's a good question, and one that I don't have an answer for,
okay,
because I don't, at this point the bill would be silent,
right,
on that particular issue. I think one of the things, you know, and I'm not aware, I know in the high school that I teach in, the requirement is 24 credits, which is the same as the state. Now, and I don't think we differ from the state, except that from a standpoint of we do require some computer literacy, for example, to be able to, but that's covered in the electives section that would fall into the state requirement. The state requires, and I've got the sheet here in front of me, the English and language arts is three credits. It's going to go to 4 in 2010. Math is 2, goes to 3 in 2010. Science is 2, and then goes to 3 with lab experiences in 2012. And then from there, it's social studies is 3, phys ed is 1, health is 1, and then a second language, it goes to 3 credits in 2012, and then electives will go to 6, which currently they're at 9. So there is a breadth of experience or breadth of coursework that's required for the students to take, and this kind of goes back a little bit to Representative Cannon's question as well, that is required. And I'm not suggesting that a school, that an individual school district should change. If they have, you know, like in our school, for example, we want to have computer literacy as one of the requirements that we have. But I'm not sure that the, and I don't know of any districts that actually require more than 24 credits.
But actually there are quite a few.
Yeah, there are quite a few. Representative Dolan?
Let's see if we can dig this out another way, Representative Crummell. Representative Roblin and I were talking, and we know of no school that would not let its people go. But apparently there are some.
I was going to say, that's the trouble when those two are talking.
We certainly wouldn't.
Apparently are some. You started down that trail of a school would hold a student. Why would they hold a student if 24, 26, 28 credits, whatever the district had decided was the diploma requirement, why would a school hold a student?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Dallum, I think that probably the number one reason why they would is because when the student graduates or leaves, then there's no longer our school districts, because we pay for seat time, and the money comes in from the state on a per student basis. Our school districts don't have an incentive to move kids along from a financial standpoint.
And if a school were really pinched, and they are, and there was an opportunity to hold students, you're suggesting they would, and what this bill would give relief to, it would put our graduation and diploma through the prism of the student, not the prism of the school. And what you want to do is release our student so that they can get on with the business they want to get on with.
Madam Chair and Representative Dallum, when we have students that can move through quicker because of their abilities and their maturity rates and all of those sorts of things, when we have students that can move on, I want them to be able to move on and not be held hostage by the whims of a district, whether it be the board or the superintendent or the principal.
Thank you. Then you talked about dropouts. Do you know of any students that, if they had the opportunity to get an early diploma, would not have dropped out? Are you familiar with any particular cases?
I don't know of any off the top of my head that I can name to you and say, yes, this student is a dropout, and they would have stayed in school they would have graduated. But we do have a number of dropouts who then do go on, get their GED, and then do go on to college.
I may give you a boost here. In my time, I know a few that exceptional students that we did not offer sufficient challenge. I don't think we ever know what the reason completely for dropping out is. We might think we do, but I would like to think that if we could avoid that dropout situation by offering an early diploma at the student's request, that we would do that. I do know of a case or two in 25 years, not very many, but a case or two.
Madam Chair and Representative Dallum, I can tell you that a number of students that I teach in my school, that particularly the students that are in college prep classes, one of the reasons why they wanted to come to our school was because they did not feel like they were being challenged in the bricks and mortar school.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Representative Crummell. Appreciate your consideration and your time.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate it.
Okay. At this time, Margaret DeLacy, did you want to come forward and so we can hear from you? His name's not on the list. I'm going to use that phrase again. And then we have a panel that will come up together for the next testimony.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Margaret DeLacy. I live in Portland, and I am here testifying at the request of the Oregon Association for Talented and Gifted. They've authorized me to comment on this bill. Unfortunately, Madam Chair, I believe the last time I was here in this committee, you were under the weather, And the committee is being chaired by Representative Cannon.
Very ineffectively.
And I don't know, I don't think you can get it across the hearing room, but I seem to have come down with something similar. So I'll do my best to be heard, and if you're having trouble hearing me, please let me know.
Okay, thank you.
I kind of feel I'm preaching to the choir here, so I won't go into huge detail. But I do want to make it clear that enabling a student to move through the curriculum at his or her own pace, and in particular allowing gifted students to move through curriculum at an accelerated pace, is one of the, it's a research tested best practice. It's one of the oldest and most effective educational interventions that we know about. We have been studying acceleration, which is basically what's envisaged in this bill, for almost a century now. There are hundreds of studies, many of them carried out by the Center for Talented Youth in Johns Hopkins, which has made a specialty of this and provides accelerated programs for students. I didn't think you'd want to hear about all the hundreds of studies, but just to give you one example, one of my favorite studies is on the students identified by Lewis Terman at the time he was working on the first Stanford Binet intelligence test. He used that test to identify quite a few gifted students, and they have followed up those students ever since the time they were first tested in the 20s. Those students are now at the ends of their life. Researchers have gone back and interviewed those students every few years, ever since they were in school. And even into their 80s, the students who were gifted and were accelerated had better outcomes throughout their lives than the students who were equally gifted and not accelerated. Mm. And the improved outcomes have been found in these studies to be not just academic, but also social and emotional. Gifted students who are accelerated are more likely to be class officers, are more likely to be reported by their teachers as being well-adjusted and successful, and are more likely to be satisfied with their academic experience. I won't go on and on about this, but I personally and OTAG as an organization believe that this is a good idea in principle. However, I also do want to say that I'm concerned about some of the drafting in this bill. I won't go on and on about that either. I have discussed it already with Representative Crummell, and I believe with your staff as well, Representative Buckley. But there are quite a few issues with specific wording in the bill. For example, in line 15, it says where a student has met or exceeded the academic content standards for mathematics or English. At a minimum, we think that should be mathematics and English. There are quite a few other modifications of that sort. Our biggest concern was that schools might force students to graduate prematurely, particularly very young students who had met academic standards. And we believe that this should only be upon the request of the student and family and not mandatory. However, I believe that will be taken care of in the amendment that's pending. We have quite a few other minor suggestions for ways to improve the language if you wish to proceed with this bill. But we do agree that in principle this is a good practice for students. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Questions? The only thing that I wasn't going to share this little story, but I'm prompted to by your research about the longevity of, you know, teaching students at their rate and achievement level. But I had a middle schooler when she was in seventh grade. The parents said, you know, how do we get involved in getting my daughter the PSAT? And I kind of looked at them. I knew she was gifted, but anyway, she took the PSAT as a seventh grader and the SAT as an eighth grader and started college at age 13. And she has successfully, she's a junior this year. And she was ready for it. The parents were ready for it. And, I mean, I think she got somewhere between 1,200 and 1,300 on her SATs as an eighth grader. So she definitely is an exception. But, you know, hats off to her parents' advocacy. And, you know, I said, well, what about her diploma? They go, that's not important. So.
Chair Comp, I there were questions about what schools do to students.
Right.
And all I can say from personal experience is I had a comparable child in my own family.
Exactly.
And that child was not allowed to accelerate when he was younger, and it was quite difficult for him as a result. And I'm on several listservs for parents of gifted children. It is extremely common for these children to accelerate and to be very successful. There are also cases where it doesn't work out, but I still believe that this is a decision that the family is in the best position to make for those children.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I do have a
Cannon.
Thank you. I do have a comment, or perhaps I'll work it into a question, but I think we should be very careful not to conflate two things.
Right.
And one of them is teaching at the rate that the child is capable of learning and wants to learn. And I agree with you, that's profoundly important, that we find ways to help teachers work with students at very different ability levels. The other is requiring a school district to allow a child to graduate early before they've spent 4 years in the school. And that's a separate issue. That has to do with how many courses, as this bill has proposed, how many courses the student has completed in perhaps less than 4 years. I heard in your testimony some sort of combining of the two, and I'm not sure where I stand on that second piece, and I understand the argument and probably the value of that for certain kinds of kids, but I also understand the logic that some school administrators, some school teachers might use to say, you know what, this child really isn't, despite the fact that they've completed their 24 courses early, they're not ready for reasons of emotional maturity or social maturity or others. We're not quite comfortable sending them out into the big wide world. So I just want to be a little careful that we don't assume that by allowing them to graduate early, in fact, we're getting all these benefits that come from differentiated instruction and allowing them to proceed at their own pace.
Representative Cannon, Chair Comp and Representative Cannon, many of the studies that I cited were on simple acceleration and not on differentiation, and they included early graduation as well. My daughter's a student teacher this year. She's teaching in a large high school in Richmond, Indiana. She sees 140 students a day, mm-hmm. and I don't think that's unusual for high school teachers. High school counselors see many more students than that often. And I would just submit that the people in the best position to decide whether a student is ready to go out into the world are probably the student and their families, and not these people who don't have that much contact with these students. I'm not saying that it's a good idea. My own younger son frequently comes and hugs me and says, Mom, I am so glad you didn't accelerate me. You know, for him, it would have been a disaster. He was not ready. But I still, and I listened to his teacher's advice on that, and they gave me good advice. To me, this is a question of who makes the best decision about academic placement. And I still believe that the family and the student are in the best position to make a good decision, even though I do agree that sometimes they don't get it right.
Right. We all make mistakes. Representative Roblin?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the same concern that Representative Cannon had, and that is that there are different approaches to get there. The diploma is really something we have contrived that has to do with the 4 years in high school, basically. And it's not necessarily what came before or whatever. It's collecting these credits and then getting a certificate from that school district that says, you did all things that our local committee believes you should do to get there. That's one thing. And giving kids the ability to go through that faster, collect the credits in different ways, and get a diploma early, I feel really comfortable with. And we were talking, a lot of schools do that fine. That's different than some of these profoundly gifted children who... they really don't need a diploma. They didn't want a diploma. The young ladies, they never got to the high school to start working on a diploma. They started working on the college. They just skipped that part. And having known some of those kids, I mean, having them go through even considering getting a diploma is, in my opinion, a waste of their time and the families. They need to go on with their life and do some of the things because they're there. There are those other groups of kids who... some of whom need some of that socialization, and that whole process is a good thing for them, and collecting the credits along the way is a good thing. Letting them do it a little faster is something that I would appreciate. But they really are two different kinds of deals. The acceleration of letting people get to the place where they need to because they're academically gifted shouldn't be held up by a diploma. I had a number of students who came to the high school did not get a diploma. That was a choice. We had a plan. Their parents had a plan. That wasn't the plan. Was the high school. That plan was Brown or Yale or wherever they were going to go. And you work with them to get to that plan. The diploma is a different thing. It's a statement about a community, about what was important educationally, that we think that as a well-rounded, educated person in our community, here's what we have as the standards. And so I would hope we keep those separate, as Representative Cannon was saying, because I think there are places for both. I guess that's more of a comment than a question. But
okay. Representative Dolan, last word for Margaret.
I would like to ask a question. Are we going to see the amendments? Because I want to be able to hold the amendments to the bill to... And all of us that are in education have the classic case. The important thing to me is that the parent and the student have an opportunity when the school district is holding their student hostage. I don't believe that happens often, but when it does, I think the parent has to have some recourse, and that's what I'm interested in doing here. So I really want to see the amendments.
Okay.
I've just never seen it happen. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you very much.
Okay. For our next panel is Gary Campbell, Brianna Broadbent, and Sam Briggs.
And we'll hear some kids that have been.
Yeah. We have a superintendent and two students honoring us.
We have enough superintendents in here.
Do we have enough superintendents? Well, I don't know. It's just nice to see somebody under the age of 50. Besides Representative Cannon.
So, Chair Comp and committee members, thanks for having us today. Came today to talk.
I need your name for the record.
Oh, sorry, Gary Temple, Superintendent, South School District, and with me today are Sam Briggs and Brianna Broadbent.
And they will have to introduce themselves as they speak.
So we came today to talk about what we hope is an unintended consequence of this bill, and in favor of the amendments that we hope to see. First, I would suggest that on line 7, if after "and" we just add "district requirements," it would meet your concerns. Mm-hmm. And I would certainly, we also require speech and computer lit for graduation, and I wouldn't want to compromise our diploma in order to get them out sooner, although there are lots of options for them to get a state diploma if they even want out sooner than that. And then also we would advocate for it being by the student request and not by ours. And certainly there are horror stories, although none personal to me, about students who are held. I would hope that would not be the case. In our case, we have a one-page form that a student fills out and the parent signs, and if they've met the requirements and they want to graduate, then off they go. If they want to come back for graduation, then we hold their diploma and give them their transcript, and if not, then we move them along. But today we want to talk about, if the bill was passed in its present form, what we believe one of the unintended consequences would be our PACE program, which is standing for promoting accelerated college entry. And we were here before you a couple of years ago and talked with a group of students about our program and what we were trying to do. And essentially, in a nutshell, students who have met our requirements, in this case the 3-point and our SIM requirements, we give the option of attending part of the day or all of the day at the community college at our expense. We were just in its inception when we were here last, and so we have 2 years under our belt. Certainly has done way more than we ever expected it would. And we can kind of talk about the things that fed into that. But we think that if we were required to, there would be some instances where we would cut students off in the middle or the beginning of their senior year and have to move them on. One of the things that has happened since we met last is Oregon State came and did a study on us and some other schools, and so Thursday, not to steal their thunder, but Thursday they will be having a press conference, and in partnership with E3 and the Gates Foundation, they will be talking about some innovative programs, of which ours is one of them, and so very encouraging. So a lot of work has gone into this. But the other thing we've done since the last time we've met is, one of our goals was to get them to transition from high school to community college, and then, as a logical next step, to transition from the community college to the university. And so we offer to the students in their last term with us, if they've met our requirements and they have a 3 point in their college classes, we transfer them to Oregon State, University of Oregon, or Western Oregon, and we allow them to take up to 8 credits at our expense. And then we hand them off to the university system. We also have developed pathways with Oregon State and U of O and Western for them to go directly from the high school to the university if they don't want to stop at the community college. And in some cases, that works for students. And so certainly we would advocate for student choice. We allow them to develop their own programs, and each one meets individual needs. And so with that, I'll introduce Sam Briggs and Brianna Brogdon. Two different situations. In Brianna's case, both seniors, both valedictorians of their class. In Brianna's case, she had a lot of activities and things she wanted to do in high school, and so she's only able to take one class off our campus as a college or as a high school senior. In Sam's case, Sam got a perfect score on the SIM math test as a freshman. He took Algebra 2 and Pre-Calculus as a freshman, which put him in our calculus class as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And so we knew we were going to have something more for him. And I think one of the things that this bill does is it encourages school districts to look beyond that next step and say, what more should we or can we be doing for our students? And so with that, I'm going to let them tell their stories and how this has affected them.
Okay, well, my name is Brianna Broadbent, and I am a student at Scio High School. I live in Scio. I've been involved in everything from sports to FFA to all sorts of after-school clubs, and I've taken several honors classes, and what I am getting from this program is that I kind of just wanted to taste college to see kind of what it would be like and to get some classes that weren't offered at high school. And so this allowed me to go to the college, and I'm taking several art classes. I took an art class this semester, and then last semester I took a math class that wasn't offered at our school. So I'm kind of getting a taste of college and getting some extra credits in there, but at the same time I can still be completely involved in all the things that I do in high school. So it's a good transition for me.
Thanks, Brianna.
And I'm Sam Briggs, also a student at Scio High School, and I live in Scio. And I very well could have graduated early in the end of my junior year. Mm-hmm. All I needed was my English credits for my 12th grade year, which I could have packed on in addition to some other classes and gotten done. But with the PACE program as a option for me, I opted not to do that and instead take those classes at the college next year. So right now I'm taking most of my classes at the college to get credits both at the college and high school level, and still get a taste of the college atmosphere and the attitudes of the students and professors. And it's been really beneficial to me. I'm still taking one class at the school, and that is my agriculture class, for some additional college credits that I can gain through that. And it's also fun because I get to be part of the FFA organization at our school, and being part of the high school has allowed me to participate in senior year basketball and that kind of thing. So it's been very helpful to me.
I've just got to ask you a quick question, Sam, because in many schools there's different traditional events that happen your senior year, whether it's homecoming king or prom. Have you guys had prom?
Not yet.
Okay. But some schools will say if you leave early, you can't do those activities. Is that anything, I mean, or would that be a big deal to you, or are you still eligible to go to prom and all that?
Fair comp. I do intend to go to prom this April, and I was actually nominated for the homecoming court
Figures. This
last fall. So.
But, I mean, what would you think if schools said, you know, that, like, going back to district control, saying, well, if you leave early, then, you know, bye.
Well, again, Chair Comp, I think it's a student choice. If they're willing to sacrifice some of those high school experiences from their senior year, then that's their decision.
Okay.
But I felt that they were a necessary part of my high school experience. Okay.
But thank you, because that's what I want to hear is the student voice. Representative Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Cohn. So the concern you had about the bill was that it might force kids out that don't want to get out because they wouldn't be able to take care of the PACE program if they ended up graduating.
Right.
The way the bill's written right now, they're done, and they lose that opportunity.
Yes. Okay. Chair Comp and Representative Roland, I believe that is exactly how it's being interpreted by members of our education community, is that whether the child wants or the district wants, when they had the minimum number of credits,
off they went.
Off they went. Right. And they may not be ready for that.
Yeah. Right.
Unless they're a graduate. Follow up.
Yes.
And then the only thing I would say is that you have reasonably intelligent students sitting here, and they'd already figured that out, even with the bill, because they kept an English class away, and that would have made it so it doesn't work for them in this deal. And so, I mean, that the way it's written, I really do believe, and from my perspective, I think most schools do acknowledge that when the kids are finished, they let them go. And I haven't heard of any of the problem that this bill says there might be out there. But I have always found kids who were smart enough to realize, I need to do this and arrange it so that I have the classes that I have to take in order to take advantage of the other things that I want. And I appreciate that. Appreciate both of you being here, too. So thanks.
And I would suggest that instead of playing the game, like
exactly.
we did in college,
exactly,
you know, leaving that one class out so we can take all of our graduate courses, let's just
do it the right way.
Do it the right way and not have to worry about that.
Yeah. Representative Dolan, did you have one thought?
No, I want to see the is anybody sponsoring any amendments for your concern? There is an amendment. Thank you.
That's what I was going to ask. If
okay.
Representative Crummell, if you could stay in here just a few more minutes so we can clarify amendments. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you
very much.
Good luck on your futures, and I hope there's a great college waiting to accept you.
Appreciate it.
Turns out there's a long list.
There are long lists for some students when you're 4.0. Okay, we have David Wellenis and Chuck Bennett. And I was going to say, if we can, if you guys can kind of be thinking about the amendments, because we do have one more bill we wanted to hear today since we're short on time, since we started a half hour late, so we can kind of get our amendments clarified.
Madam Chair, my name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. Madam Chair, we're certainly interested in the bill. We are also real taken with the proposals from Superintendent Temple that would add on line 7 and district requirements as a really constructive addition. Which would return this to local control, really. I don't want to let it go without saying that the question of students being held hostage, I think, is probably an overstatement of that kind of urban legend that makes the rounds in education communities. I really think that if folks are going to make those kinds of claims, we really need to see the examples. Just as much as the kind of stories that make the round that it takes in certain school districts 5 to 6 years to get a high school diploma so the district can hang on to the student as they go to college and collect half of the
right.
Half of the state school fund allocation to that student while they pay for a few college classes. And I think that this runs both ways. I'm concerned. I think we all kind of look at the ideal, which is kids go to 4 years of high school and graduate. I think we're all, even as, and I am over 50, recall students leaving early and being able to go to college, then graduate in the same class I did. This is not a new phenomenon. And there certainly is nothing untoward about expecting a student to be able to leave high school and go to college. What does become of real concern is that about a third to 40% of our high schools, of our school districts, have graduation requirements more stringent than the state graduation requirements. And if you're going to respect local control, and the ability of school districts to differentiate themselves from others and to add on to the state requirements, as well as meet local needs for their community where they're trying to localize their education program and offer a program that meets their community's needs and their view of what the future holds for students. I think you really need to make the amendment that Superintendent Temple proposed. Again, though, I hope that it wouldn't be done for any wrong reason. This is about kids and what's best for kids. This isn't being talked about. I guess it makes me just real uncomfortable to be talked about in terms of money. I think the stories abound. I think the reality is school districts in this state are devoted to the best interests of children and to their futures. And any suggestion otherwise, I think, is unnecessary in a bill like this. I think it, to the extent we can make this more attractive for young people, the better. So,
thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, David Williams with the Oregon School Boards Association. Not really anything to add of substance to what Mr. Bennett said. Just again to reiterate, as the representative of those who are on school boards, who are the ones making policy decisions about the educational attainment of the kids in their communities, we're very concerned that this bill would short-circuit those efforts. Even districts who don't go beyond the 24 credit requirement, they may have requirements inside that for educational attainment levels of math or specific electives that they require their students to take that simply we believe would be undermined by this bill and would reduce that ability to sort of go beyond those state requirements.
Okay. Representative Roblin?
Thank you very much. One of the other programs that I didn't ask the others that I think would take a hit with this is International Baccalaureate. A number of our school districts offer that within their programs, and most of those kids have met graduation requirements long before they get out of the program. Is that pretty comfortable with that?
I'd be comfortable with that. I think that there are that you add expanded options, the whole range of things that we're doing in public schools now, including the kind of program that Superintendent Temple described. This kind of one-size-fits-all delivered from Salem, a state diploma is what this represents, it'd just be a mistake as you try to offer a variety of programs statewide. So I certainly agree with you.
Follow-up, Representative?
Yes, Paul. This is a question I wanted to ask people. Is there any statute, regulation, rule that you know of that prohibits schools from doing what this bill proposes to do? No. I hope not.
I hope not.
Because the law isn't broken.
Because I know a lot of people are doing this, and so I would just like to make sure that I have never seen anything that says to a school district that you can't offer a student a diploma when they finish their programs. There is a basic deal that says 12 years of school and all that in the statutes, but that is not a requirement. That is an expectation kind of. So, okay, I'm hopefully we're.
I hope we're correct.
Well, and just perusing Ms. Miller's testimony here, I think is a fine example of where this has exactly worked in a district where, a student has identified that they have a desire to move along for whatever reasons faster than their current class, have gone to their counselors, which are excellent resources in districts to be able to help guide people through that process, and she accelerated her learning.
Cut. One more follow-up.
30 seconds.
Okay. Would it be better to have the kind of requirement that we've done in some other things where we say school districts shall provide a process by which students can get an early graduation requirement, where they have to work that out with the district, and that's what they do. I mean, they shall provide it, so there is an option for them, but we don't have to spell out all these other kinds of things in the bill. Just say, because that's kind of what most districts have done. I mean, those of us that have done it have come up with a little sheet that says we want to identify that we're going to do this and notification. So,
Madam Chair, Representative Roble, I think if there is a feeling that there exists a no-exit situation out there in any district, if that would be something you'd like to take a look at, we'd be glad to work on that kind of language, because I don't think... The idea of holding kids that they're ready to go is an odd idea, and if there isn't an exit avenue for them,
that would be my thing too.
Yeah,
okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your testimony. What I'm going to ask the committee members is if you have any, because our staff is working with Representative Crummell. If you have anything that you think ought to be an amendment, if you'd email Rip Kobian,
sure,
and so that we get it all put together. Okay? Thank you. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2606 and open up the public hearing on 2848. Mr. Kobian, if you give us a summary.
Thank you, Chair. Quickly, this also does change years to credits. It does require districts to award a diploma to a student who does not satisfy credit requirements but instead meets requirements established by the State Board of Ed. Does require districts or public charter schools to award an alternative certificate to students who don't satisfy diploma requirements, and allows those students who get alternative diploma certificates to participate in ceremonies. Amongst other things, it does require districts to award kids with disabilities a document certifying completion of a program requirements, and to give children with disabilities who have an individualized education program a summary of the performance when the child completes high school. This applies to the 08-09 school year. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. We have one panel to present to the committee today, and we are honored with Representative Gelser and Bob June Depp and Catherine White. White. Thank you. Please come forward and share us your insights, and appreciate you coming today and being so patient. Thank you. Representative Gelser, if you want to wait for your panel so there's not quite so much movement.
Sure.
That's all right. I just like to have people's attention. Please proceed.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Sarah Gelser, and I'm the state representative from House District 16, which represents the portions of Benton County that include Corvallis and Philomath, and two people living in Linn County. I was sitting in the back of the room listening to the testimony and thinking that it's quite ironic that I am testifying to a committee that's hearing bills about high school diplomas, because I have to confess that I do not have one. I have neither a high school diploma or a GED, though I do have a master's degree. I left high school after my sophomore year at 16 to go to college because I'm unusual and have trouble following the rules. Anyway, I'm
which explains why you are a legislator.
No questions at the moment.
I'm here today to talk to you about House Bill 2848, which will allow the state to adopt statewide standardized requirements for a modified diploma for students leaving school, and will also direct local school districts to adopt policies that allow for an alternative type of a certificate for students that are leaving school who are unable to achieve either a modified or a regular diploma. The folks who are going to speak after me, Catherine and Bob, they did the work that ended up in the language of this bill, and I wanted to talk to you about why I support it and why I think that it's important. Currently, current law in Oregon is that individual school districts have the authority to determine whether or not to offer modified diplomas. Because of that, individual school districts also have the authority, should they choose to offer a modified diploma, to decide what it's called and what the standards are within it. Not all school districts are offering these. Not all school districts are offering alternative certificates. And so this means that for students with special needs, and again, this is not a special education related thing, though it will tremendously benefit children that are receiving special education services, it makes the target a moving target. You don't know what it is that you're shooting for. As a parent, I've had some experience with this. I have a student who is in the fifth grade. He'll be going into the sixth grade next year. He receives special education services because he has a developmental disability. We would like for him to pursue a modified diploma. We're having a very difficult time finding out what the standards for a modified diploma are, which makes it very difficult to do the planning for him in middle school to do what he needs to do in high school. For students like my son Sam and for other kids, it's important to have that goal that you can work towards to keep you engaged in public school. It's also important for these students to have the ability to have something that recognizes their accomplishments in schools as they move through. If you think about this alternative certificate program that could benefit some students, among other students with severe disabilities, many of whom began their journey through the public school system as infants and toddlers in early intervention, early childhood special ed programs. So after 16 years of being in school, working very hard towards goals, not all of them them currently have access to something tangible that recognizes their participation and their efforts. Further, not all school districts are allowing these students to participate with their peers in the full life of their school by allowing them to participate in commencement activities and school leaving activities. This bill addresses that by asking school districts to let these students experience that rite of passage of moving from high school onto adulthood. There are a couple of protections in the bill that are very important. One is that it clarifies that if a student achieves a modified diploma or one of these alternative certificates and they move through the commencement ceremonies with students of their chronological age, that class that they entered with, that does not disqualify them from any other educational services that federal law entitles them to up through age 21. Certainly a standard diploma would make a difference in that case. The other is that federal law also requires that students with disabilities receive, upon leaving school, a summary of progress, and this makes clear that they will receive that. The difference, if you think about the difference between the diploma and the transcript, here you have the difference between the summary of performance and the alternate certificate or the modified diploma. I hope that you will look carefully at this. I think that it would make the modified diploma standards very consistent. It would allow predictability for these students. I can't imagine how frustrating it would be for a student that had been working towards a modified diploma to move to another part of the state and either learn that the standards are different and they weren't going to achieve it, or even worse, that that simply was not an option in the district that they moved to. And this really is an opportunity to fix that. We require at the state level, we say what the minimum requirements for a high school diploma are. This would just make that true for a modified diploma as well. The alternative certificate in the bill is left up to local school districts to do through their policy, so there's some more flexibility in that one, so I don't feel like this is an undue burden being placed upon local school districts. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Before we have questions, Representative Gills, are you going to submit us a copy of your testimony?
I can.
I'd appreciate that, because you did give us some important information, and it's nice to have it for a reference.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions, or should we go on with the rest of the panel at this time? Okay. Please proceed.
Members of the committee, my name is Catherine White, and I'm with the Oregon Developmental Disabilities Coalition, which is a coalition of about 26 organizations related to developmental disabilities, families, providers, et cetera. And we are here in support of the bill. I wanted to start first with a personal story. My son and my daughter both finished school at the same time. My son had received special education services for approximately 20 years. He struggled, his teachers struggled, and he learned. At the time he graduated, he actually had a job at the Red Lion Hotel and received a holiday turkey, which was one of the high points of his school career. And this was pretty incredible for someone who still is nonverbal and experiences very significant autism and mental retardation. When it was time to graduate, his classroom had a party. He received, even at that time, something that appeared to be off a back shelf, a mimeographed sheet of paper that looked like a certificate that had his teacher's name written on it. And it was entitled A Certificate of Attendance. My daughter was a good student, very good student. She graduated with a huge ceremony with hundreds and hundreds of people. She graduated from a large urban high school. Hundreds of people attending the ceremony. And at graduation, she received a diploma in one of those fancy plastic containers with the stamps and the superintendent's signature on it. I was actually very, very proud of both of my children for their achievements. But when you laid the two documents side by side, it was very clear how society, and in this case, the school community, valued my son's achievements. And I actually don't know who was more devastated by the comparison, me or my daughter. At her prompting, we wrote a letter together to the superintendent talking about this situation. By return mail, We received, without a cover letter, a fancy embossed document with my son's name on it, with the stamps and the signature that said modified diploma. So just because he had a mom who wrote letters, a mom and a sister who wrote letters, he moved from a certificate of attendance to a modified diploma. This is an issue that we've heard a lot about in the last few years in particular. And Representative Gelser has really very well has summarized the issues. And so I'm not going to repeat in my testimony some of those comments. But we work statewide, and we hear different stories. People receive certificates, attendance, modified diplomas. As we see individuals with disabilities move into the adult system, providers are confused about what they received, what it means. Employers are confused. Federal law does not allow you to establish a special education certificate, but in our research for this bill, we went on websites for targeted schools around the state, and they referred to the modified diploma as a special education diploma. Out of the 287 school districts that we looked at, and it was data that is somewhat old, but it was the most recent data, 118 school districts did not provide any kind of alternative certificate, nothing. Individuals left school, aged out of school, as it's often referred to, without any kind of acknowledgement. So for us, this is important. Students who've attended school have worked hard, have made achievements that are commensurate with their abilities, are leaving school with no recognition. There's a lack of consistency around the state that confuses parents, families, other school people and providers and other agencies and employers. And the mobility of the Oregon population means that you move from one school to another and you may end up with an entirely different requirement. So those are the things that we feel are very important to have those three levels, allow local districts to continue to provide the alternative certificate, have some kind of standardized description of what a modified diploma would be, and obviously the regular diploma is critically important. And one of the things that we wanted to make sure that that you understood, that we understood, was that the regular diploma is a door into many things that either a modified or alternative certificate will not allow you to access. So part of this will be in rule that we clearly establish procedures for informing families and students the implications of any choices that they might make. And I had a few other comments here on the bill, the other issues that were addressed, and I think Representative Gelser's addressed those. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bob?
Thank you, Chair Kopp, members of the committee. My name is Bob Junedep, and I'm the director of the Oregon Advocacy Center. First of all, I'd like to thank Representative Gelser for her leadership on this issue, and Ms. White for her experience and knowledge of this issue. I'm honored to be with both of them as true advocates in this area. The reason I'm here is, as director of the Advocacy Center, we see many, many individuals who have issues with the special education system. It's one of our tasks in the work that we do is to represent families and children in that system. And we've been doing it for going on 30 years now. And one of the areas that we just hear about pretty consistently over the years is confusion and problems having to do with the diploma cases and situations where families, after coming through a very structured special education world in which there's lots of very specific requirements that start right from early childhood that follow you all the way through, that require yearly planning and agreement, high participation with the parent and the school in order to formulate an individual education plan. Through this entirely very structured process, all of a sudden when we move toward the end, in a sense it's a free-for-all. Because the rules about what happens then are very vague, they're very different from school to school, and parents become very confused, and they are faced, as their child, with making decisions at that point that are oftentimes uninformed. Sometimes the parents are unable to get good information about exactly what can be accomplished in that school district. And then it's unclear what the repercussions are as far as they're concerned. And there are repercussions in terms of what type of a certificate a child receives. A diploma, a regular diploma, can result in the end of a child's eligibility for continuing special ed or transition services. Not receiving a diploma could result in interfere with their ability to get certain benefits in post-education, post-secondary education. And so it can be not only a confusing area, but a one that's loaded with some significance. What this bill is seeking to do is to bring some clarity into the area, and to do it because there is complexity, to move it into a rulemaking process where we get all the parties at the table to try to work out some of those complexities so that we can come up with something that can work for everyone. I think that the outcome that I'm concerned about and that you've heard about is that families can know what their options are, make informed choices, so that the child can get what we're all hoping, I believe, is that children with disabilities can have an equal opportunity for achievement in our society. And I think that this bill would further that end.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much for bringing forward this bill. I support it strongly. I guess my only question, Catherine, is you mentioned that federal law does not allow a special education diploma. Are you comfortable that this bill is actually going to be within federal law, that if we do have a modified diploma, it won't somehow be squashed by the feds as being a special ed diploma?
Madam Chair, Representative Buckley, absolutely. I think that there are a number of students who do not qualify for special education, who may not be making able to reach the standard diploma requirements, but for whom we do need to acknowledge the requirements that they have met, the things that they have achieved. And our hope and our discussions, we formed a work group during the last 9 months, and we discussed that very specifically about what other populations, despite all of our best efforts in terms of making sure that as many people as possible get the regular diploma, standard diploma, there may be those who simply will not be able to achieve that. And so I'm confident that this will not be a special education diploma.
Thank you.
Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I probably missed this in your testimony. Could you explain why the need for both a modified diploma and an alternative certification, and how those would be different in practice?
The modified diploma would have a higher, more stringent standard, which is why it would be set by the state. It would probably have much more specific academic outcome standards to it. The alternative certificate would probably be used more by, and I hope my panel will correct me if I misspeak here, it would be used more by students most likely that have very severe disabilities, for whom achieving high school credits is probably going to be a very challenging thing. What the modified diploma does is it gives students who can strive for those things the ability to have something to benchmark towards. And again, I would use my own son as an example. Given the choice between a regular diploma and a certificate of participation, I know that probably a regular diploma is not very likely, but as a parent, I'm not willing to tell him when he's 12 years old that he can't accomplish things or move forward. Having the tool of a modified diploma gives a much more reasonable, challenging, difficult benchmark for a person to move towards. So it would be that type of a difference. The certificate of achievement would be more of a formalized acknowledgement of a student's participation and achievement of the goals on their individualized education plan and what is oftentimes, by the time they're 18 years old, 18 years of participation in a public education system of some sort.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to add, based on some of the research that we did looking at school district websites, there were school districts who had very clear requirements on the modified diploma. It may not be 4 years of English. It was 2 years of English or alternative ways of achieving a language credit. So that it was designed differently. We also saw the alternative certificates were, in some places, were directed to students who are really alternative learners. They were not going to fit in the box of course requirements, but were on total independent study, for example, that had student advisors, and they were receiving an alternative certificate that was based on almost an entirely independent study and practical application of independent study research. So the alternative certificate became this kind of very creative way of addressing some very diverse learners. And the modified diploma was much more rigid.
Representative Dahl, I had Representative Roblin went first last time, so it's your turn.
I think I see where you're going, but when we do a modified diploma, and I heard 122 districts that don't, so I'm going to do the same thing as I did with the last bill. I'm going to go down to the prism of the student, and what you're saying is that after 12 years, whatever the number of years are of achievement, that the modified diploma would mean more to the student. What I'm stuck is, in my experience, the IEP would outline, and a particular course that both the school, the parents, and anybody else that we brought into the meeting determined that the child could meet. So what we're going to really do is say that if a child meets the requirements of that group, then they will be given a modified diploma.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead and respond.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Dahlem. I think that would be more correctly aligned with that alternative certificate. What we're saying is that the modified diploma would have a statewide standard that was much more rigid. You wouldn't have a district that was offering a modified diploma and for 12 different kids it meant 12 different things. It would be a very clear thing with clear standards that a student could look to, not just to feel good when they walked across the stage and have it, but it's something that they're striving towards as they're moving through high school and even through middle school. I think for students that are in special education, I think that this also could be a helping guidance to individual education plan teams as they're designing that course of study for students. If they start and they look at and they say, Cindy is going to pursue a modified diploma, these are the benchmarks that she needs to hit in order to earn this modified diploma. And therefore, we're going to design her course of study, her individualized education plan, to support her to attain those skills that are going to help her to achieve those standards that are set out in that modified diploma. In many ways, this makes the standards for the modified diploma probably a little stricter than what they are in school districts currently, because there are no overarching standards for them across the state.
So, follow up, I'm sure. So when we talked about Representative Gelder about benchmarks, and instead of using Cindy's benchmarks, we're going to have a benchmark from the state that says we have really now three tiers: a diploma, a modified diploma, and a certificate. And there's all kinds of words put behind that certificate.
Right.
I see.
Representative Roblin.
Yeah, I too want to say thank you to this. Our school district, the high school I was at, did do this. It is not a simple task.
No.
Because in order to correctly make a modified diploma, there has to be entry points for people who are not in special education. And we worked on that diligently and made processes by which counselors or special ed people could get kids there. But it is a difficult task to come up with the kinds of things that separate it. And, you know, we came down to, the state has said these are a list of courses that all kids should have if they want to be citizens in Oregon. And we've got the list. We've talked about them today. And the requirement was for the modified diploma, you had to have a course that represented every one of those. Now, then we went about finding different ways for them to meet some of those. And some would be in a regular class, and they wouldn't necessarily get a passing grade. But they would be there, and they would do the things, and they would do assignments. And the teacher would say that they're meeting their IEP to get through that social studies class or whatever, even though they didn't meet the standard for that class to get a passing grade. They had to take it, they had to be there, they had to do the things that they needed to do that they could do. And when they got all those things done at the end of the deal, and when we had meetings, they talked about this is what it takes for you to get a diploma. And then we had a certificate of attendance. I mean, those were the three that the high school had. Yeah. And the certificate of attendance, anyone who had been there that period of time could come and ask for that. Very rarely did regular students ask for it, but they could have asked for that certificate. And I guess the other part that I think is important, and it was clearly important to our district, was that those students who we had invested many years, and even those that transferred to our school who we had made a relationship with, really did deserve to have that final moment with all of their friends that they went to school with. And setting that and making sure that everybody understood that you get one of these, you participate in the ceremony, was important, as important to a number of the students, the regular ed students, as it was to those students who they had been with since elementary school. So, you know, I commend you for doing it. It is a difficult task defining what a modified diploma is that works well to give a lot of these students something to aspire to, because if you can easily put roadblocks that make it impossible for a lot of those kids to get there. And the only other sarcastic comment I was going to make was, actually after 2014, we don't really have to worry about this, because all students will meet the No Child Left Behind. So I don't understand why.
I forgot about that.
Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Vice Chair Roblin, I'm glad that you raised that issue. I think that this can actually be a support to school districts in striving to meet those benchmarks and No Child Left Behind. If you go back to looking at these requirements from the prism of a student, you have students that are moving through that we want to meet benchmarks, that we want to do well on the standardized test. From the point of view of a student who figures out early on they're not going to achieve that high school diploma, their question is going to be, why? You know, what do I get out of this standardized test? What do I get out of this in the end? This will help to keep students engaged because it gives them that endpoint, that prize that they can reach to. So I think that it will help with achievement scores in local districts in that way as well.
Thank you. The only other comment that I would make is I worked in a district that developed a modified diploma also in the early, gosh, I don't know, late 80s, and it took us 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of that is we almost got held up on the aspect because people on the other end of the spectrum says, well, if you're going to have a modified diploma and it only went for special ed students, then we have to have an honors diploma. And all negotiations broke down what an honors diploma would equate to, you know, what would that
Couldn't
look like.
That, yeah.
And so then we at least ended up with a modified diploma. But it is you can't have a simple dialogue on it. You really have to drill down mm-hmm. and know the intent, whether it is for special ed students. You'll hear you'll hear a debate is if they have a modified diploma or an alternative diploma. I don't think if you have it for special ed students, there's no problem at celebrating their success on the stage. But if you have a modified diploma just because somebody didn't feel like taking all their classes, then you're going to have unrest in a community saying, well, that kid was out screwing around half the day and my child was working hard. How does that equate to the same honor of the ceremony? So, yeah, lots of them pop up all over. It's just like popcorn. But this was our first hearing, and I really, really appreciate you bringing it to us. And so with that, I'm going to close our public hearing on House Bill 2848. And any other business before this committee today? Okay.
Okay, with that, we'll adjourn the House Committee Subcommittee on Education today. Thank you.